It's got to have the right touch, I guess. Well, good morning, everyone. Good having you here this morning. And a lot of people that are out and sick. So be in prayer for them. You know, we really serve a good God. Do y'all realize that? Nah, I won't say it. There is... No, I better not. But, you know, God is so good and he cares so much for us. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world, but a lot of things are not affecting us. It's not harming us. And we need to realize how good God has and is to us. I know that we do have some health issues that we need to pray for, but, you know, even in that, God allows things for a greater purpose, kind of like was shared this morning. I don't think I can remember how to repeat that, but anyway, God allows the things that he doesn't like or that he hates for a purpose to reveal or to do something else, and I find that a lot in our lives, which is good, but you know, God's got his hand on this church, on these people, you, and there's a lot that he wants to accomplish. And so there's a ways that we've got to go. You know, we can't be spectators. We need to be part of what God is wanting to do. He will help us through it. He will lead us, guide us, give us what we need. But we've got to be willing to put our shoulder to the wheel as such. And do you know when you leave this earth, God's going to show you, I think, your bucket list of all that he's called you to do and all that he was prepared to do through you so he could get the glory, of course. And we're going to get and stand in the presence of the Lord, and then all of a sudden it's going to be flashed up of all that God was planning to do through us, but through whatever circumstance, we didn't do it. And I think we're going to be really disappointed. You know, I've jumped and done things that I was scared to do, but I thought, whatever, I'm just going to do it. And I did it, and God blessed through it. And then I look back, and if I wouldn't have done that, that's an opportunity that I missed. I would have missed it. But now I've got testimonies of different things that God has done because of that. And so that's what we need to do. In fact, the Lord gave us a prophecy, and I'm going to read that to you again because it kind of goes with, I think, what the Lord gave me this week. And it says, my people, talking to us, do not see and understand my ways. They need to be led by the hand to know my heart's desire. They are my very precious children, and I long for them to desire to know my heart. For us to desire to know God's heart. It's what we need to do. And to love me wholeheartedly, to truly be one with me. And that's God's desire for us. And so I see people stepping up. I'm hearing different things that are very encouraging. But though we don't understand doesn't mean we give up. God says, I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you some things. And what I would need you to do is simply be willing. Change that heart's desire. Desire to walk with me and to be part of me. And he says, I'll do it. I'll do it through you. And you're all going to be surprised and impressed. And it's like, wow, we serve such a big God. Such a big God. Folks, I don't know about you, but there's things I've missed in my bucket list. I'll never go back and be able to do them again. But I don't want to miss any more. I don't want to miss any more. So I want to move on. If you would, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, starting with verse 22. Mark 8, verse 22, is talking about the blind man healed at Bethsaida. It says, and Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And it was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would bless us now with your word. Holy Spirit, we give you and we ask you to just share your word, what you need us to hear. Let us be obedient and soft-hearted, Lord, that we just relish the words that you speak to us. And we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to be in our congregation, in our group, and then even to share God's precious word to each of us. So, Father, thank you. Bless us now. Make our spirits alive to receive your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's kind of look at this. You know, I had to do some study, and I hadn't seen a lot of this in this passage before. So I know you've read it, but maybe the Holy Spirit enlightened us to some things that maybe we kind of overlooked. So I believe that the experience of this man's gradual healing, and it was, I kind of wonder, why did it take two times for Jesus? It might take two or three times for me, maybe even 10, but for Jesus, usually it's one time. But this time it was like it took a second time. And I'm like, Jesus was having an off day? What was the deal? So let's find out. Let's try and find out what it was all about. So there was a gradual healing. And it was how we have our spiritual eyes opened. There's a process of gradual spiritual healing and relationship with God. Folks, you ever notice when you get saved, you realize you didn't know anything? Did you ever notice, or did you know everything? With me, I didn't know anything. I'm like, man, how can anybody be so dumb and still breathe? That's how I felt. I didn't know really anything about God, or very little. All I knew is that he saved me. But you know, there was a process in being spiritual, in learning spiritual things, it comes gradual. Folks, we got to work at it. We got to study. We have to desire it. It doesn't just happen all the time. So anyway, keep that in mind. Gradual healing here. So here's the initial encounter with Jesus. John 6:44 says this. No one can come to me, Jesus speaking, unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. This verse here emphasizes that our journey begins with God drawing us to himself. Recognizing our need for healing and turning to Jesus is the first step in our spiritual journey. So the first thing is a calling. God dealing with us. Us realizing, hey, I need Jesus. You know, a lot of times we go through life and before God calls us, we feel that we're okay, right? Did you ever notice that? I'm okay. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed any banks. So I'm okay. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. So we think we're okay, but then when God starts calling us, what do? We find out, ooh, I need a Savior. I've got a lot of faults. And then we start realizing that we could end up in a place that we don't want to go. But see, it's all God's doing of the Holy Spirit drawing us and letting us know. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, all of us then reflect the glory of God, after we're saved, of course, we reflect the glory of God with uncovered faces, and that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. Folks, we feel the need. God calls us. We come to the Lord. We get saved. So you progressively work. It's like we want to get closer and closer to the Lord. So we go to church, hopefully. We go to church, we hear preaching, we're encouraged by others, we hear the testimonies that we have. I think that's very important to have the testimonies, sharing the good things that God's done in our lives. And it encourages people that, hey, maybe God will take care of this. Maybe I can trust him. And we get into the word and we start studying. And what happens? You can see people change. You ever notice that? You can see people change. It's like a little bit of God gets on us. And then as we progress in and we learn more and more, and we just start to feel God's presence, and we take the time not only to just read and study the Bible, but we have our quiet time with the Lord, which becomes very special to us. And then people can start seeing, a lot of times we don't see it, but others see it, that there's like, wow, what y'all been doing? Get a haircut? You know, what are you losing weight? You know, I told one couple this morning, I said, wow, you guys are looking good. Are you getting younger? Well, we feel younger, amen. You get with the Lord, you do feel a lot younger. But there's a change in our life. There's a change in the way we talk. There's a change in our attitude. There gets to be more hope in our life. In fact, there's more discipline in our lives. Because now we don't do the things that we might have thought of doing before. You know, it's like Jesus here he's going by this town, and they bring out this man who's blind. And they said, Lord, would you heal him? Well, Jesus could have just done it right there, right? He could have just spoke the word, but what did he do? It says he took him by the hand. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit calls us, and he takes us by the hand, and he encourages us, and he leads us, and he loves on us, and he leads us and carries us right to the Lord, where we can be touched. Jesus had to get him out of that city, away from those people, because most of them, they didn't believe in healing. They were critical of Jesus because he'd been there before. And so now he's going to get them away. Do you ever notice how when we get saved and we start walking with the Lord and things change and we're getting now involved in church and trying to serve God, do you ever notice how you don't want to hang sometimes with the same people? Because all they tend to do is get you in trouble anyway, and you just don't like that kind of lifestyle anymore. It's like, you know, I love you, but let's do it from a distance. Have you been there? Do you understand what I'm saying? Man, all my friends, all of them, I had to change them all. God just led me away from them all. And sometimes that's what we got to do. You can't hang out with the same crowd. And so the Lord takes you by the hand, and he leads you out. And so this man needed his healing. And of course, the Lord's going to take care of that. So the purpose of healing now, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So what's that saying? He'll carry it out until the day of the Lord. In other words, here's our starting point. We get saved, our eyes are open, and we realize that we're lost. Jesus saves us. And now we're hungry. We progressively grow closer and closer to the Lord. The glory of the Lord is in our heart. Pretty soon it starts shining through. You know what Moses had to do when he went up on the mountains and stayed with God? He came down and people were, whoa. Well, his face was glowing. It was just emanating from him. And it scared the people. It's like, they've never seen anything like that. So what they did is they put a veil over his face. One, so he didn't scare the people. But two, the glory of the Lord dissipated. Just dissipated. Went down and they didn't want the people to see it leaving. But folks, with us and with the Lord, and as we learn and walk with the Lord, this glory that we read about in 2 Corinthians, it gets stronger and brighter, not dimmer. But that's because we're progressing on. We're moving on what the Word talks is from glory to glory. Amen? So I guess what we need to realize, I think, is that it only gets better. You know, it's good now, but it's only going to get better. So we're never going to get disappointed with anything. We're going to grow in the Lord and moving from glory to glory, from understanding to understanding, from miracle to miracle, because God wants to do it through us. But you see, he's got to take you by the hand. You got give him your hand. Let him lead you. Lord, I don't understand where to go. And the Lord says, that's okay. Take my hand. Just take my hand. And then don't be afraid to go where he leads. There's so many things that he wants to do through you. But we've just got to learn to surrender and allow him to move. and to do things in our lives. So just as a blind man experienced partial sight before full restoration, our spiritual growth is often gradual. God is actively working in us, but his process takes time. It does. It takes a lot of time. You know, I can see things, man, being a Christian, what, 40, 50 years? And it's like, I can read the Bible and all of a sudden, it'll jump out to me, that verse. And I'm like, well, I've read that a dozen times and I've never seen it that way before. But see, that's how it is. I kind of hate when these people get to where they know more than God does, or they think they do. Do you ever know that? Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, you can take that out of the Bible. And it's like, really? You've gotten so much smarter than God? Wow. Maybe we should start preaching you. But see, that's what we do, and people don't realize that they're actually doing that. You know, I can mention a few things about the Lord, and people right away, they clench up because they're afraid to even hear it. Like receiving the Holy Spirit. So many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because a lot of them believe he gives you that terrible language that could be cursing God, that tongues, whatever that is, that mumble jumble stuff. How terrible that is. I'll never do that. And it's like, so you're telling God that this is a bad gift. But folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you can receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to speak in tongues. That's true. You know, you can go grocery shopping and fill your cabinets, but you don't have to eat any of it. But it's there. So if you get real hungry, you can go have some. That's the same way with the Holy Spirit and God's giftings that are in the Holy Spirit. It's for us to prosper, to grow, not only for us, but for us to be able to minister to other people, to be able to speak into their life, to get some understanding of where they're at. And then you can prophesy to them. Tell them how much God loves them, what God is saying to you. They may not believe it when you say it, but I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that get encouraged by it. Kind of like this prophecy I read this morning that God gave to us. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that God gave us and spoke it through one of our ladies of the church. For us, it was a gift because of the Holy Spirit. Folks, there's so many things that people are afraid of. You know, when you pray and you're asking God for something, like let's say we're asking him for a piece of bread. Oh, Lord, give me a piece of bread. Do you think a big stone from the sky is going to fall out and hit you in the head? God says, you can trust me. What good father of you whose son would ask for bread, would you give him a stone? Or would you give him a scorpion or a poisonous snake? Would you do that? If your friend asked you for something, would you just hit him upside the head? But yet we accuse God of that. You know, we've got to continue and be dependent upon Jesus and upon God. John 15:5 says, and Jesus speaking, he said, I'm the vine. He said, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can't do anything. It's all dependent on the Lord. Our continued dependency on Jesus is essential for spiritual growth. See, folks, a lot of us, we've been touched once. We've been saved. And in the churches, they haven't had the second touch yet. They've received their salvation, but now we need information. We need growth. We need power. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. But see, we've refused to receive that second touch. What about this man? Jesus said, what do you see now? Oh, man, I see men walking. They look like trees. And that's how we are spiritually. You get saved and people say things and the Lord speaks. And you're like, I'm just watching people walk as trees. We don't understand what the Lord's trying to show us and what he's trying to tell us or even do through us. Folks, we need the second touch. And sometimes a third and fourth touch. And that's what the Lord does. That's why it's so important to read your Bible, to pray, to spend time with the Lord, and allow him to minister to you, giving you that second touch. You don't start out knowing it all. The Lord says, no, I won't allow that to happen. He said, you will have a starting point. And then as you rely on me and trust me and search for me, you know, the Bible says that we're to desire spiritual gifts. We've got to let the Lord lead us and teach us and guide us. We've got to let him take us by the hand. Folks, we've got to learn to really humble ourselves. So he can do all that he wants to do through us. We need that second touch. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord. We've got to trust in the Lord. And it says to do that with all your heart. But a lot of times we trust him a little bit. I've had, you know, we had an evangelist come in one time when I was pastoring a church. And all I had was $20. See, they only paid us $125 a week. We had three kids and a dog. And then we had a neighbor kid in the town who was having big trouble with her family, and they allowed her to come and live with us. Now we're up to four. All I had was $20 for the whole week to buy groceries. And so I talked to the people, and I said, you know, y'all need to really dig down deep. This evangelist came all the way from Missouri and everything, and of course, they stayed with us. We didn't have groceries for them to eat. We didn't. Cabbage, pretty well bare. We might have had some peanut butter and maybe a half a loaf of bread, if that. And here they're staying with us and we've got to feed them. How many were there in that group? Four of them? Three or four? And so, okay, I said, now, folks, dig down deep. Let's support them. They went down the aisles taking collection. They came to me, and I wasn't going to put anything in. And the Lord said, what are you giving? See, that's how the Lord works with me. He said, Jim, what are you going to give? He said, mean to tell me that you told them to give, and now you won't? I said, but Lord, I only have a $20 bill. And I would feel so foolish if I put that 20 in and took change out. You know what I mean? Do you ever be in that kind of situation? It's like, wait a minute here. I only want to give a dollar. And so I said, all right, look, I'll give it. I pulled it out. I threw the whole thing in the offering plate. I don't know what we're going to do now. But see, doesn't the word say trust in the Lord? You trust with him. You trust him, though, with your whole heart. So I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought, well, maybe we'll just fast. That would be good for the service and sound spiritual. We're just going to fast. So I put the 20 in, and, you know, the service went on. And at the end of the service, we went over. Our house was connected. And so we went over to the house. And there were, how many bags of groceries were? There was like 5 or 6 big grocery bags just full of food. Food that we would never buy. You know what I'm saying? We like Aldi's, even now. Give me a cheap, you know, I don't have to spend all that money for expensive food. Just give me the cheap stuff. And we'll make it work. But this, it had everything, meats and vegetables and desserts. And there had to have been $200, $300, maybe more worth of groceries there. And then later, a lady come to the house, knocked on the door, and she said, God said, I need to give this to you. And she gave me a $100 bill. And then there were other blessings that God brought. And then God kind of looked at me and said, see, can you trust me or not? And see, folks, that's where we're at. Oh, yeah, I believe the word. Oh, yeah. I believe. But then we don't trust it. Really, we don't stand by it with our whole heart. We waver. Well, I don't know. God did it before, but I don't know if he can do it again. Folks, I can tell you different things. When I first learned about tithing, I've never heard it shared here, but maybe this is the first time for Olivier. Anybody not heard of tithing? Tithing's 10%. We first got saved. We're going to church, and I heard the pastor talk about tithing. And I'm like, tithing? I've never heard that word. What in the world does that mean? So I started asking people, well, what's this? And even the pastor, what's tithing mean? He said, well, that's what the Lord talked about of giving 10% to the church. And I'm like, really? I said, you know, because I take the word pretty serious. You know, I said, is that gross or what is that? You know, I wanted to know. And so I found out that it's the first fruits that you get. And you take that off of the top, you give it to the Lord, and then the Lord lets you use the 90. And I said, I don't know how that works. I mean, I'm new at all this. I'm just as, you know, it's like, tell me something and I'll do it. So I learned that, and from that day on, we've tithed. Didn't matter what the checkbook looked like. That didn't matter. Didn't matter about the food. Didn't matter. We tithed. 10% come off the top. Always. And God has always blessed us because of it. Folks, try living on $125 a week. Of course, this was a few years ago. We couldn't even afford McDonald's, and that's when you got change back. And the biggest treat we usually had at that time, hand-me-down clothes for the kids. You know, young girls, young ladies grow up, they don't care for that. So they got jobs pretty early in life. But I want to tell you, they tithed because they learned the value of it from us. they knew mom and dad always tithe. My oldest girl, they didn't find a church right away after she got married, or I don't know what went on. But they hadn't gone to church for like 4 weeks or something, and they found this one. Do you know she added up all of the money for the 4 weeks and gave it to the church so she could catch up on her tithe? Folks, do you realize the value in trusting God with your whole heart? With everything that's with God, if you don't come through, I'm dead. We won't make it. That's how we live our life a lot of times. God, if you're not real or you don't come through and you forsake us, we're dead. We're done. There's no way we can go on. And you know, I love living like that. Because I can put all the weight on God. God, it's it's you. You're in control. I trust you. And God says, I can take care of that. It's okay. I got this. I can go on. I can give you so many testimonies of how God has led us and all that he's done in our lives because we followed him with all our heart. So I want to encourage you to really trust God and to just put your whole heart into it. You know, trust in the Lord, it says, with all your heart. Don't go by what you think or lean on your own little understanding. It says, in all your ways, though, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. See, that's what it's all about. God gave us a prophecy. He said, trust me, just take my hand. I'll lead you. You don't know a lot of things, but it's okay. I'll lead you and I'll teach you. You'll come out on top. Like this special offering for this. It's kind of like, hey, if I don't have that much money or enough in the bank to really give what I want in my heart, can I make payments? Can I give you so much a week? Folks, work it out. This is for God's glory. You know, the thing is, God always has us try him with money, doesn't he? He said, try me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven, pour out you a blessing. Folks, we don't give and we've never given to receive from God. We gave out of obedience. And in that, he's always taking care of us. And he'll do the same for you. You know, when you get to heaven, we're going to look back and say, man, what a bonehead I was. That I couldn't trust you, Lord. Please forgive me. Folks, God is so good. And if you've not tried him, do it. You'll be so rewarded and so excited. I know I was the first time. I said, wow, look what God did. And so that's how we want to live. I never thought we'd ever be able to retire, but we were able to retire. See, God's blessing us. You know, a lot of times in your garden, if you got a lot of weeds, you're pulling weeds, right, Kathy? You pull a lot of weeds, everything's coming up. But do you know after a while, the weeds get lesser and less? There's always some. But see, a lot of us has planted maybe some bad fruit. And you're going to reap what you sow. That's what the word says. That's why I'm careful now about what I sow, because now we sow good fruit. And the harvest is there, so we continue to pick the good fruit. And so that's what we need to do in our lives. A lot of people experience a lot of bad things, but that'll soon leave. As you sow good fruit, the bad fruit soon is eliminated, and then you can get the good. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I'm here to just take you by the hand. And you take my hand, and how about we walk together? Because I don't know it all. I'm one of those that really believes the Bible. You know, there's nothing in there that I would ever tell God that I don't believe. I believe it all. And I stand. I talked to the girl that I'm going to do the funeral with, the lady. And I told her, I said, look, I believe everything the Word says. I said, I believe a thief has stolen your husband. And that's how he works in our lives. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I said, I really want to talk about that at the funeral. She said, you know, I think you're right. And of course, she's not one that goes to church, and he didn't go, and all of that. But folks, what do people need to hear? They need to hear the truth. And I'm going to share the truth. And I wanted that out in front with her, because if she didn't want to hear it, then she would have to look for somebody else to do the funeral. Because there's nothing more important than the Word of God. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your Word. Holy Spirit, give us true understanding and help us to trust you with all of our heart. Now, we don't lean on what we think anymore, but Lord, we just trust what you say. And I bless your name for it. And now I want to give you the blessing, speak over to you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you, be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Thank you, Father. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.